This is the Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.
Yeah, look, just to keep you up to date with some of the changes happening to JobKeeper, there are changes on the way. There's a telling line in the rules surrounding the federal government's $70 billion JobKeeper wage subsidy. It's indicating that the Treasurer is reserving the right to make some changes to the scheme. It was always going to happen. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, hasn't ruled out further changes. Let's have a look and see what's happening. Graeme Wynne is our employment expert from Superior People Recruitment. He joins me now. Graeme, good morning. There were always going to be changes. It was never going to stay the same for a long period, was it? Once again, good morning to you.
And good morning to you, Luke. And you are quite correct. There are always going to be changes with this because it was a bit of a much fly by the seat of their pants policy and then see how it goes and adjust it as they would adjust it with most things. So, yeah, there are always going to be changes made to it. Definitely, yes.
Okay, what are some of the changes you predict?
So I think, obviously, with childcare being scrapped from the JobKeeper payment now, that's the first thing that was happening. And I think as businesses go back to work and back to normality, they're the industries possibly that will lose the JobKeeper. So for instance, hospitality and restaurants, they're now letting them open, and as more people go back into that industry, they will start taking it away from that industry because they want you. People are working now, there are now jobs for you. You may not need the JobKeeper because you're now making income. So I think it's those industries where the government or each state say, right, you can go back to work now, with the right numbers of people, they're the ones where the JobKeeper will be removed from.
Getting rid of the free childcare, it's been such a massive help to couples who have been struggling, people who have been put off. Is it too soon to get rid of it, or can we no longer really afford to keep it going?
I think it's expensive, but I think it's too soon to get rid of it. And the reason I say that is because so many workers are still not going back to work. They're not allowed to go back to work yet. So therefore, they need that assistance to be able to put their children in childcare. So I think until people go back to work, we shouldn't have taken it off yet.
But if they're not back at work, they're at home, why do they need to have their children in childcare?
They're at home because they're not earning income.
Well, they can be home looking after their children.
They could be, but it's about the income side of it. They're not earning money. So once they go back to work, they're then earning money and they can afford the childcare. That's why I think it's come off too soon. There are other ways they could have saved money.
Okay, what are some of the other changes you see?
I think casuals are still, not the casual as in less than 12 months, I think there'll be changes to if you're earning less than $750 a week, then the JobKeeper payment will not pay you more than what you were earning. That's the big glitch with the whole system. So people earning $300 a week, $400 a week, they're now getting $750 a week. That's a silly outcome there. So I think that will definitely change that. If you're not earning $750 a week, you'll only get what you earn. And that'll be a huge saving for the government.
A couple of other things I wanted to talk to you about. Australian economists today are saying that they're narrowly backing a wage freeze in the minimum wage case, which is now before the Fair Work Commission. It's a freeze that could flow through to millions of Australians on awards, and it could affect the wages of millions more through the enterprise bargaining process. Is it a case of you either have a wage freeze now, let's say 12 months, and more people keep their jobs, or if you're not having a wage freeze and giving people pay rises, more people are going to have to leave?
I think the wage freeze is a great idea. Companies are still struggling, and they're going to struggle for a long time yet to get back to normality. So I think if they can reduce the payroll costs and not have wage increases, that will keep people in work. And it comes back to the old question, would you rather have 80% of something or 100% of nothing?
That was my question. And yep. In New South Wales recently, the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, said no to the pay rise that was being asked for by all public servants. But she said, but you'll all have a job. No one will be put off for 12 months, but you've got to accept this wage freeze. Now, there was uproar, particularly when it comes to people like paramedics and teachers and nurses and that sort of thing. But is it a case, as you've just put it, do you want 80% of something or do you want to go home with 100% of nothing?
And the interesting thing is, a couple of placements I've made recently, the salaries are less than what the people are looking for because companies are being cautious. But those people, I remember this from the GFC crisis, the SARS crisis, when they paid that little bit less, in 12 months' time when they did reviews, they gave those people a little bit extra because they worked with the employee, understood, okay, the money isn't as good as it should be, so therefore we need to work with you So therefore, we'll take that slightly less salary now, but we'll get rewarded further down the track for it. The same thing will happen this time.
All right, there you go. 133353 is the telephone number. And just quickly, Graham, should you lie on your reference? How many people tell fibs when they're applying for a job, and how many references actually get checked out? Now, there's a reason I'm saying this. Hang on, bear with me, Graham.
Sure.
Young Jessica, she claims to have two university degrees, okay?
Yep.
This is what she claims. I haven't cited one of them, and yet I hired her. Now, how many... Jess is also thinking of embellishing her CV. She's thinking of getting a doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a master's. And a couple of... Hang on, I'll put her on. Jess, good morning to you.
PhD is the one you left out.
Yeah, she's also looking at adding a PhD to her CV.
Excellent.
I haven't seen Jess's degrees, and yet she's gainfully employed by the Southern Cross Austereo Radio Network. Do we go back and check?
Most companies don't.
Hang on, I'm just trying to get a reaction. Yes, Jess, go on.
You see, you're not the only one. Most people don't. People lie. Just put it on there, you're fine.
There you go.
People don't check qualifications, and there's a few reasons for that. One, because sometimes you gained them so long ago, your experience is more relevant than what your qualifications were. That's the first reason. And second reason, in this day and age, believe it or not, most people of our generation believe that qualifications are far easier to get than they were when we were studying. So they don't have the same value as what they used to have. Because every Tom, Dick and Harry gets a master's these days. So they don't have the same value they had 20 years ago. So again, that's another reason why people don't check them, because the value is just not there as it used to be.
Okay. So getting serious, it can be tempting to stretch the truth when it comes to a job application. But on a serious note, Graham, there are legal implications if you lie, correct?
Correct. If you are found to lie on your resume or application and you get found out after you've started, then you can lose your job because of basically fraud. You entered that with a false resume. So you can lose your job for that reason. Yes, most definitely. So you do need to be careful. References are the interesting one because they're not as easy to obtain as they used to be. And part of the problem with that is that as an individual, you can go back to your previous employer and request copies of any references you gave to potential employers. So therefore, you could use, if you think that was not fair what you said and you didn't get a job because of it, you can then sue them for discrimination.
Yeah, but okay, but what if somebody's leaving your organisation and they ask you for a reference and they were absolute shit? You were thankful that they were going before you had to sack them. What if you don't want to write them a reference? What if you say, sorry, Fred, you were hopeless, you were crap, we were on the verge of sacking you anyway, thank God you tendered your resignation. No, I'm not giving you a reference. What happens then?
Well, if the person resigned, you can't give them a negative reference anyway, if they resigned. If you dismiss them, then you can tell what actually happened. If they resigned, you can't give a negative reference.
But just say, I don't want to give you a reference at all. You can say that.
Absolutely. And if we ring employers and they say, basically, we're not prepared to give you a reference on that person, that tells me all I need to know. So I very rarely do reference checks because I don't see a great deal of value in them, again. So we will normally ask, if we do them, a previous employer, one question only, would you employ that person again? If the answer is yes, good enough. If the answer is no, that's all I need to know. I don't need to ask any more details whatsoever. A previous employer, again, with changes, you could never ring a previous employer unless you got permission from the candidate. Now you can ring, but all you can get is confirmation of dates of work, what their position was. You can't get any other information at all. And companies won't give written references these days because, again, after you've left, they might find out something you did wrong and they're giving you this glowing reference. You then get a job. The new employer finds out the reference wasn't strictly true, and that employer can come back to the previous employer and say, well, okay, there's a bit of an issue here with that. So companies are very scared about giving references these days in case they get sued.
There you are. Have you ever lied on your reference? Give us a call, 133353. Come on. How much did you embellish your qualifications? Did you ever fake a reference? Remember George Costanza in Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Vandalay Industries. Remember that?
I remember it well, yes.
And you want to be my latex salesman. Yeah.
Absolutely right, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Vandalay Industries. All right, Graham, good to talk. If people want to contact you, contact me here on the Night Shift, nightshift@triplem.com.au. I will flick your inquiry through to Graham and he will get back to you. He always does. Have a great day.
And yourself. Take care, Luke.
And I'm very impressed with that doctorate and PhD you have behind your name. Very, very impressed indeed, mate.
I have so many of them.
This is the Night Shift on Triple M.